Amen. You guys may have a seat. I'm so excited today to have a friend and a colleague come speak to us as we continue to remember Hispanic Heritage Month. Today we have the opportunity to hear from a wonderful Christian leader that has brought change and transformation to ministry here in Texas. So I'm excited to introduce today Dr. Rolando Rodriguez. His heart's desire is to love God, to love, take care, and provide for his family, and to help individuals, churches, and organizations reach their God-given potential for the ongoing kingdom work. Dr. Rodriguez holds a dual master's degree, one in global leadership and one in Christian education, both earned at Dallas Baptist University. He also holds an honorary doctorate of divinity from Baptist University of the Americas and is currently in pursuit of a doctorate in ministry at Midwestern Theological Seminary. Currently, Dr. Rodriguez serves as the senior director of Texas Baptist in Español and has served there since 2007. And one day, not so long ago, on September 27th, he was born. Do y'all know what day today is? September 27th. So will you join me in saying, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dr. Rodriguez. Happy birthday to you. Thank you so much for being with us. Please. God bless you, brother. Yes, sir.
Wow. That was great. I didn't know that Luis could sing. So, thank you, Luis, for the invitation. Thank you for... I know Luis, since he was at BUA, he actually invited me to speak at BUA one time, and I don't think I sent my bio, so he asked me right before chapel. He said, "How do I introduce you? Because I don't have your bio." And I said, "You know, when I was born, my mom said you." Your name is going to be Rolando, and you have problems. So I said, that's my name, and that's who I am. So just say, let me introduce to you our speaker, Rolando. And I'm Rolando, and I'm your friend. So thank you, Luis, for the invitation. Today, or this month, from September 15th through October 15th, we celebrate the Hispanic Heritage Month. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. In fact, I have I have a PowerPoint, so I want to share with you about my family. And there it is. So what I want to share with you is about understanding Hispanics. And most of you are in ministry already, and some of you are going into ministry. You're getting ready to be in ministry. And I don't know if you know, but Texas is changing. We are in the middle of an epic demographic change, and we want to be ready just to reach people, whoever they are. Let me tell you about my family. And this is my family. My wife and I married in 1988, and we have two beautiful daughters and a son, and we have seven grandkids, and one on the way. So we love our family. In fact, when they got married, we live in Lancaster, South Dallas, borderline of Dallas County and Ellis County on Avila Road. And so I told our kids, they were looking for a house north. And I said, you can move north if you want. That's fine. We'll go and visit you on weekends. That's okay. But I want you to know that the free babysitter is south. So it's up to you. And so all of them lived 5 minutes from our house. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I want to talk to you about my family. This is my family. And my wife and I married in 1988. That's where everything started. I met Angie at church in 1983. It was September 11, Sunday, at Sunday school at 9:45. That's when I met my wife, Angie. She was 14, and we got married when she was 19. Hello. I don't know how in the world they let us do that, but anyway, 35 years later, we're still together. So I think it there's something good there. But here's Nathan and Sarah and our granddaughters. And by the way, Nathan is here. Nathan is the one that is leading the discipleship intensive. And thank you for hosting that event here. I think you already hosted this event two times, and a wonderful ministry. And that's David Gonzalez and my daughter Jacqueline, and they have a son, and David is the coordinator for Congreso. Congreso is one of the largest events for college, for young adults and youth that we have here in Texas. So he's the Congreso coordinator, and also our son and his family. Roland Michael, and their son, his name is James, and I told him, in our culture, son is not James, is James, and his last name is Rodriguez, so it's James Rodriguez. He's one of the best players in Colombia, at least in Colombia. So anyway, so my grandson is James Rodriguez. So this is our family, and the reason I wanted to share with you about my family is because when it comes to Hispanic culture, family is very important. So I want to talk to you for the next few minutes. This is the whole family right there. This is what I call my tribe. Este es mi tribu. This is my people. Este es mi gente, mi familia. So I want to share with you about understanding Hispanics. 25 years ago, Dr. Gus Reyes and I began doing this seminar, Understanding Hispanics. But we were doing it mainly for Anglo congregations. But 25 years later, we are doing this for Hispanic churches. Because us Hispanic, now we are at a point where we need to understand Hispanics. We're dealing with a lot of different generations. Just think about this, just my family. I was born and raised in Mexico. I'm first generation Hispanic. My main language is English. And my wife, she was born here. She's second generation. And so she is bilingual. And that second generation, they get the best out of the two worlds. My kids, they're more like third generation, and now our grandkids are fourth generation. This is just one family. And the question is, how are we going to minister to all these different generations at the same time in the same church? It's a big challenge. How are we going to reach all these generations? So let me just say that Hispanic Heritage Month, back in 1968, it was just 1 week. It was Hispanic Heritage Week, and it was established by L.B. Johnson. And then later, under the presidency of Ronald Reagan in 1988, he moved it to 30 days. This is why we celebrate is a Hispanic Heritage Month. And not only that, but in that same year, September 15th, actually August 17, 1988, it became a law. And the law, the public law, is 100-402. I have the number there just a minute, because I've been trying to tell Texas Baptist, the convention, hey, can we have a day off? Because this is a law. You know, so I'm advocating for this. I've been doing this for the past few years, and something is not working. So I still have to work on that particular day. But September 15th, it's a very important day for many countries in Latin America. Hispanic Heritage Month takes place from September 15th to October 15th every year as... It's a time to recognize and celebrate the numerous and contributions, diverse culture, and extensive histories of the Latin America community. Of course, we as Christian Baptists try to embrace all those cultures so we can reach people for Christ. That's really what we want. That's really our goal. So... And Luis, keep please let me know about the time, brother, because when it comes to understanding Hispanics, you have to understand that time for us means something different. So anyway, I'll explain. But let me share with you First Chronicles. This is a beautiful passage from the Bible, First Chronicle 12:32. Also. Of the sons of Issachar, men of understanding. They knew all times to order what Israel should do. One of the most popular passages in First Chronicles is found in chapter 12, and the sons of Issachar are there, and they are described as men who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel should do. Before the people of God, the people of Israel, made a decision, they got discernment. The sons of Issachar understood three factors, three things, and these three areas. Number one, culture. They understood culture. It is something, when it comes to understanding Hispanics, you have to understand the culture. You have to understand the population. You have to understand the place where they live. You have to understand the people. You have to understand the culture. We are changing. Like I said, we are in the middle of an epic demographic change. Did you know that right now 44% of the population in Texas are Hispanic? Do you know that by 2050, we're going to have 25 million Hispanics in Texas? Just in Texas. By 2050, we're going to have 135 million Hispanics in the United States. We already have a country within the country, only behind Mexico. Only Mexico has more Hispanics than us. Hello. Because there, everybody are Mexicans. You know, I just came back from Guadalajara and I went to get some coffee and pan dulce, and I said, can I have some coffee and Mexican bread? And then they said, sir, all the bread here is Mexican. You know, I said, well, I come from a place where, you know, we ask for Mexican bread, and so anyway, understanding the culture, understanding the population, understanding the place where you live is very important. The timing, they understood the timing. They understood the times and discern when to move. You have to know when to move, when to plant a church, when to go as a missionary, and where. How are we going to reach these people if we do not understand the culture, if we do not understand the timing? And then they had the strategy. They had the strategy. They knew what Israel should do, the steps that they should be taking. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. So my question to you is, do you understand the culture, where you are, the timing, and the strategy? So in the next few minutes, I want to share with you some of the things that we need to know when it comes to understanding Hispanics. So the first thing that I want to share with you is about understanding Hispanics. You have to understand, we are a very diverse group when it comes to the different generations. This is going to help us understand how to reach first, second, third, and fourth generation to have a greater knowledge of and understanding of the different generations, first, second, third, and fourth. Who are they and how do they think? So I'm just going to give you a few things in the minutes that I have. So who are they? I just want to make sure that this works. Yeah, in order. Who are they? First generation. Born outside of the United States, Spanish is normally their language, and so that's me. I was born and raised in Mexico. Spanish is my first language, and then you have the second generation who are bicultural. They are bilingual. Their lives they get the best out of the two worlds. And then you have the third, fourth generation. These are the assimilated, mainstream in practice, values, and purchasing behavior prefer English. But in all these three generations, we have a family. Just in my family, we have four different generations. So the one thing that I want you to know is about power distance. Power distance, this is very important. When it comes to understanding this is to have a better understanding in how to reach Hispanic population, the power distance, hierarchy, accessibility, titles, and influence. So let me share a little bit about this for a minute. In other words, when it comes to power distance, what are the implications? The titles are important. If you earn a title, you better use it. In Mexico, when a young man graduates from university, he is now a licenciado because he earned a title. He may be 21, 22, 25, but he is now licenciado. Why? Because titles are important. Also, rethink about how you dress when visiting a home. It's still a very conservative group, very conservative families. Use hermano or hermana when referring to them. In my church, if you come to my church and you call me by my first name, if you say to me, "Hey, Rolando," you're probably going to insult most of my church members because we don't call each other by the first name. First generation, we say hermano, hermana, pastor. Understanding Hispanics. Now, third generation, "Hey, Bill, how you doing?" They don't care. They don't care. I mean, they don't care. They're at the other extreme. In Spanish, we have what we call usted when you are referring to an adult. Usted. You know, in English, you don't have that word. We went on a mission trip and we took our kids, and our kids are, you have to understand, they're translating everything into Spanish. They're more like third generation. So that when they talk to adults, they say, "¿Y tú cómo te llamas?" And they said, "What are you teaching your kids? Why are they calling us but saying tú instead of usted?" Well, in English, there is no word for usted. You know, so again, understanding the different generations. So this is important. Go easy on asking them to call you by your first name. My pastor, Toby Snowden, he's the pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Cedar Hill. And he's been my pastor for many years, and he still tells me, "Rolando, call me Toby." I said, "Pastor Toby, hello. But please don't ask me to call you by your first name." So, understanding Hispanics. What is the context and communication? Well, say what you mean and mean what you say. See, you have to understand that, and I'm going to talk about how we communicate, especially first generation. We are very indirect in our communication, and this is very important. In our Hispanic culture, let me go to the next slide. When it comes to communication implications, rethink direct versus indirect communication. We are first generation, for the most part, are very indirect in their communication. In 2007, when I came to work for Texas Baptist, in my interview, they asked me, your communication is direct or indirect? I say, by nature, I'm very indirect, but because of my area of work, I'm very direct. Is it good? Because we don't have time to be indirect here. It is important because in our culture, we are very indirect. So we have to, again, understanding Hispanics, never challenge in public. I remember a few years ago when I became the associate pastor at Hampton Place Baptist Church, right in the heart of Oak Cliff. So overnight, I was pastoring a Hispanic church, and the Anglo church said, why don't we merge? So we merged. We were probably one of the first churches that merged, and to become one, I became the associate pastor. I had 7 deacons. They had like 17 deacons. So overnight, now I have like 25 deacons, and I came to the first meeting, and 27 deacons, and pastor and myself, and they were arguing, and they were like, Bill, I don't agree with you. And I was, oh Lord, help me. And Bill, I don't agree. Well, I don't care if you agree with me or not. This is how I see it. And I said, good night. There's no coffee after this meeting. I mean, and then after the meeting, this guy says, hey Bill, you want to go get some coffee? Yeah, let's go. And I'm like, guys, come on. If we fight, we fight, and that is the end of the world. Hello. I'm not speaking to you anymore. You know, that's us. But here, no, it's okay. They argue, and then at the end of the day, everything is fine. But with us, is be careful. Be careful when it comes to understanding Hispanics. We don't think like that. We have to put our cultural antennas. It is more is said than actually said. Sometimes yes means no, and no means yes. And you have to understand. You have to know when that is. Like, for example, if you ask me, would you like some coffee? Remember, I'm first generation. I'm going to say no. But right here, I'm saying, yes, I want coffee. The reason I say no is because you, in my culture, you don't ask. You just give me the coffee. I say no because it's embarrassing. I don't want them to think that I'm a heavy coffee drinker. That's why when you go to Mexico, they don't ask you. If you go to a home, they don't ask you if you want more food. They just give you more food. And you're like, no, please don't serve me more. You're going to eat it. Hello. That's who we are. So yes, sometimes yes is no. No, no, I don't want coffee. Yes, that, just give it to me. I'll drink it. Believe me, I'll drink it. And sometimes no means yes. And sometimes yes means no. I used to go with a group of men visiting, knocking on doors, and they said, Rolando, man, we're gonna have a lot of visitors Sunday because everybody said that they were coming. They're not coming. So sometimes yes is no. So you have to understand Hispanics. Hello. Communication also individual versus group. You know, we are like the three musketeers, all for one, and one for all. That's us. We are one family. You have to understand the independence versus dependence. Also, what is the group implications? Always ask me about my family. Family means more than just family. My pastor made a big mistake. He said, I want to invite your family to my house so they for dinner. I said, are you sure? I mean, yes, I want to invite your family. See, in American mainstream, family is mom, dad, and the kids. In my family, is mom, dad, the kids, grandma, grandpa, uncle, tío, tío rico. Hello. I mean, all of us have a tío rico. That's our family, the cat, the dog, everybody's family. So if you invite my family, be ready to receive at least 30 people. So it is important to understand family more means more than just family. I come from a large family. We are 16. It's not that big because I know a friend of mine. They're 22 in their family. We're only 16. So be ready. What are the implications of this? The implications is for ministry, when you reach one family for Christ, you have the potential to reach 25, 30, 40 people. That's the beautiful thing. Understanding Hispanics. See, this is who we are. I want my family to be together all the time. When my daughter graduated from high school, she said, I want to go to San Antonio. I want to go to BUA. And I said, Mija, you're not going to BUA. And she said, why not? I said, because your mom and I do not want to move to San Antonio. You know, he said, I'm going to school. I'm going to San Antonio, not you. You don't understand. You move to San Antonio, we move to San Antonio. Hello. Understanding Hispanics, first generation. So, time. And I'm almost done. But this is great. I love this one. Understanding Hispanics. Remember I told you about time? This is very good because American mainstream value time. It is very important. We Hispanic, we value relationships over time. Relationships are more important. Have you heard this myth that Hispanics are always late? It's a myth. Hello, I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry, you heard from me, it's a myth, it's not true. We're not late, but we value relationships over time. That means when we get to church, when we get to a meeting, we ask about family, we talk about all these things, but by the time we start the meeting, it's already 8 o'clock, so we're late, but we're not really late. Hello, it's a myth. So why? Because we value relationships over time. First generation values relationship and experience over time. This is why when you have a meeting at 7, you know, I'm going to have several deacons calling me and they're going to say, hey, pastor, what time is the 7 o'clock meeting? Hello. Because time, we see time different. Implications of time. These are some of the implications. Want to get alone? Be flexible. Relationships is more important than starting on time. The party begins when we get there and usually lasts longer. Don't look at your watch when you are with me. If you're visiting with me and you go like this, then what the person is thinking is, you don't have time for me. In the American mainstream, it's very simple. Hey, I gotta go. I only have 1 minute. I gotta go. Well, that's fine. But with us, you look at your watch. Well, then why do you invite me to a meeting and then you don't have time for me? Hello. Time is different for us. Relationships are more important. And almost finish. Universal versus particular. Let me go to the last part. Implications for this. Explain why the deadlines are important. Because for us, first generation Hispanics, deadlines are suggestions. Hello, this is why when I went to college, they said these are all your assignments, and you have a due date for this, and it's a suggestion for me. Somebody had to walk me through all those things, say, no, look, Rolando, when it says September 15, you have to turn this paper in on September 15. I mean, I can turn it in anytime I want. No, you can't. Deadlines are not necessarily in our radar because we think they're suggestions. Be prepared to make last minute arreglos, arrangements if you want to make a deal. Your decision not to work with me will impact our long-term relationships. Give me a break when I don't understand your rules. Understanding Hispanics when it comes to time, when it comes to power distance, when it comes to when it comes to family, understanding Hispanics. It's a beautiful culture, complicated, but listen, we don't control the changes, the demographic changes. It's happening, but we have a mission. And the mission that God gave to the church is go and make disciples. That's it. Of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. The nations are here. This is our mission field. Let's do it. Let's reach people for Christ. And Hispanics are, it's a beautiful, I'm here to tell you, Hispanics are wonderful. They're beautiful. If you take time to understand the culture, if you take time to understand the family, if you take time to understand all those things, you are going to enjoy reaching Hispanics for Christ. I just came from the valley, and they asked me, how do we deal with all these people that are crossing the border into our country? Do we accept that? Do we approve that? And I said, this is what we do. This is our position. As Christians, as citizens, we want to make sure that we secure the border. We are for that. But in the process, we cannot mistreat people. We have a mission. They still need to know about Christ. They still need to know about salvation. Yes, we want to secure the borders, but we want, in the process, make sure that we don't mistreat people. Love you guys. Understand the Hispanics. Pastor.
Thank you. He's going to grab that lectern, and we're going to put down a couple of chairs here. And just a couple of questions for you. I'm going to ask one, and then I'll give anyone, our students, an opportunity to ask you a question if they would like. So, okay. Yeah, please have a seat. And let's practice what we just heard preached, right? So, hermano, how's the family?
Family's good. Thank all you. Right. Thank you for asking. 7 grandkids, by the way.
Yes, and one on the way. He's making the point that he has one more than I do, and that he'll have 2 more than I do shortly. So I do want to ask a quick question, and then I'll see if anyone else wants to ask you one. When you were talking about first, second, third generation, especially, is there a sense of competition or an attitude that is developed between first generation, second generation, third generation, I don't mean in your family, but I just mean in general in the Hispanic community? Is there something where first generation looks at, you made a few jokes about it today, looks at the second generation and says, well, you guys are not doing things right. And the second generation looks at the first generation and says, no, actually, it's you. Is there any of that that happens? I know there is some between individuals, but how would that affect how people do ministry coming in from the outside and trying to understand and connect with the Hispanic community?
Yeah, I don't, not necessarily, there's no competition, but of course, when it comes to first, second generation, we have our values. And depending on the generation, some of those things are going to change. I value the tradition from my parents, and then, but now my son, that is more like third generation, he values different things than, like for example, son. I grew up, my dad said, you have to get up early. Now I get up early, but I don't know why. You know, I just get up early because he does. And my son said, "Dad, why are you getting up so early?" He said, "You need to get up early, son." I know I'm not. It's not a value for him. He doesn't have to. And so it's not necessarily competition, but at the end of the day, we are a family. And this is one thing that we have to understand when it comes to building a church. So, because worship experience is more than just language. It's about culture. It's about the Latin flavor. This is why you have many third generation Hispanics that can barely speak Spanish or in a all Spanish speaking congregation, because it's more than just language. Is the Latin flavor, is the music, is the food, is the family.
Nice. Thank you very much. Anyone have a question you want to ask? So we've got one or two over here. We'll try to squeeze in two. We'll do that. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. When I live in Texas, I normally live in San Antonio, and my pastor is Mexican-American, and my spiritual mother is from Mexico, San Luis Potosí. The ministry I came out of is largely Hispanic. I had plans to go to South America. I just want to ask you, what's the difference between South America culturally and Mexico?
Big difference. When it comes to Mexico, even in Mexico, you have different cultures within the country. South, Central, North. When it comes to other countries, it's very different. There are some things that are across that you can apply across the board, like the time issue, the family issue, power distance. Those are some of the things that you can apply across the board. But within each country has its own culture and is very different. That's you have to go deeper into understanding the different cultures of all Latin America.
Thank you. And do we have one more right up here? Yes, perfect.
So I wanted to say, first of all, how encouraging it has been this week just to learn more about our Hispanic culture and to show others about our culture. My question was, as Hispanics, how can we embrace our culture without isolating ourselves?
Okay, embracing the culture without isolating. I think it's we can and we must do that, especially when it comes to reaching our community. If our community is not just Hispanic, we have to make sure that we are inclusive. And even Hispanic Heritage Month, when it comes to a celebration like this, I want to have a mariachi. But mariachi does not represent all the Latin American countries. So we have to be careful that that we don't isolate ourselves when it comes to, even in my church, we have 7 different countries represented. You know, can you imagine if I go on September 15th or whatever day we have the celebration, and I say "Viva Mexico," but "Viva Mexico" for many of the Latin American countries, that's not going to go well, because they're probably from Colombia, from Honduras, El Salvador. So we have to make sure that we embrace our culture, but at the same time, we are very careful that we, in the process, we don't isolate ourselves as Mexicans or Hispanics, and that we need to make sure that our church is representing the community. If the church does not represent the community, then we have to ask ourselves why is that?
Y'all join me one more time in thanking our speaker today. Appreciate it very much. Thank you, brother. God bless you for speaking, and God bless y'all for being here today, and you're dismissed.